Welcome to season two of I Totally Paused, where we're deep diving into all of your favorite it girls and heartthrobs from the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm Jess.
I'm Siobhan.
And we are here today with a very special guest. I'm so excited. We are here with one of my dearest, dearest friends from college and an amazing performer and writer and entertainer. My very dear friend, Chris Banks, is here with us today.
Woo! Yes, Siobhan, thank you. I'm honored to be on the pod. I'm a listener, and the subject matter that we are covering today, you wouldn't have to pay me to talk about it. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. We're here today to talk about, we asked Chris who his 90s or early 2000s crush was that he wanted to talk about, and he picked Jennifer Garner, which is such a great choice because we love her, but also because our last episode was really dark. This will
be... She is a bright shining light in the celebrity world, in my opinion.
She continues to be.
I finally found like a newfound love, Jennifer Garner, because actually, full disclosure, I like Jennifer Garner, but I was never super into her. Like, I kind of followed her because of like tabloid stuff, and I really like Ben Affleck, but actually I've never seen Alias. I know, it's shocking.
Okay, I'm not mad. I'm okay. Everything is going to be fine.
I've really fallen in love with her on Instagram. She's just so wonderful with her cooking shows and her reading books and just like being a mom. And I just love her.
I feel like she is what I want Candace Cameron Bure to be.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, so Chris, I don't know if you know this about me, but my all-time favorite show in the history of all television is Full House. I know every single episode, I'm obsessed with it. And I want to love Candace Cameron Bure because she's like beautiful and she's like so fit and she's like a good mom and she's like just, you know, she's like great, except that she's so problematic.
This is
She's beautiful and wonderful, but she hates gay people. Like, it's like, I feel like Jennifer Garner gives me, I wish I had the emotional attachment to Jennifer Garner that I have to Candace Cameron's work.
In the words of Full House, how rude.
How rude. No, oh, my Lanta.
Where they're supposed to be so inclusive and then she's excluding folks. I don't understand. I didn't know that about her.
Oh yeah, you should watch like some stuff of her like on The View. It's rough.
I keep saying I want to do one about Kirk and Candace Cameron, an episode about them.
Now he's interesting. He's kind of like reinvented himself.
I think it's kind of interesting that he was like this heartthrob and like super Christian, you know?
Yeah.
And like also played like a bad boy, you know, that was always getting into trouble, and he was like so far from that.
That's what is interesting. My wife once she made me watch. What was it? The fire movie he made? She made me watch that.
Fire movie did he make?
He made a movie where he was a firefighter
wrestling
with, can I say pornographic addiction?
That's you can say whatever you want to say.
He was a firefighter wrestling with a pornographic addiction. And I think it was called it wasn't Ring of Fire, but it was a movie.
I know what you're talking about. And randomly, like, it did well because it had like a theatrical release, and it was like a random week. I think like not a lot of movies came out, and because it was like a Christian movie, like all of like the Christians came out to go see it, and it randomly like made a lot of money. Not like, I'm not talking about like $30 million. I mean, like, it made like $2 million, but it probably cost like $100,000 to make,
right? For such like a niche film, that's not bad.
Yeah,
it might be the highest grossing Christian film of all time, maybe.
That could be, yeah, it might be.
He is like pretty big star power for a Christian film.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron's not playing around. I mean, he did those the films with the Left Behind series. You know, he was on that for a while. And yeah, she made me watch it, and I watched it, and then that was the end of it. So, Kirk, episode diving into Candace and Kirk would be, yeah, it's definitely,
yeah,
approaching y'all.
Yeah, it's something. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, so Jennifer Garner is what I wish Candace Cameron was. She just seems like a delight. So I guess, should we just like jump in?
Yeah, why don't we start from the beginning, Jess?
Okay. Well, she was born in 1972, so she's 47 now.
Whoa, really?
I know. She looks younger than I do.
Stop it right there.
And she's 12 years older than I am.
Good for you, Jennifer Garner.
God bless. And you know what? I truly believe that she has maintained herself naturally.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah, I can't... She probably has, like, a little stuff going on, but nothing crazy.
Well, I always, and I've like referenced this back on the podcast before, I always think about, we had a guest on, this girl, Margie Mays, who was on American Idol. And she was telling us that she lives in LA now. So we were talking about Hillary Duff and like all the work she has or like has not had done. And she was telling us about seeing Hillary Duff in person, like at a coffee shop, and how she looked great. And Margie's dad is also a plastic surgeon. So she knows a lot about like the work and stuff people get done. And she told us, she was like, you know, the people who like say they haven't had work done and it seems too good to be true. She was like, you have to remember that these people have access to a level of skincare that we can't even imagine.
Right.
And I always think about that now. Like, I feel like Jennifer Garner has just taken really good care of herself.
Yes.
And has access to the good stuff. So she looks beautiful and God bless her.
Well, also it seems like she kind of lived a very like she was like a good kid. Like that was the impression I got from like what I had looked into her about like her childhood life. Like it seemed like her parents were like really religious and kind of strict and like, didn't they?
Yeah. Like a good Southern family.
Sure. Right. And so I'm sure she came, sounds like she came from a good Christian family and never really had that party girl image.
Yeah,
you know, she never was seen someone like you always saw out in the clubs and going places like that. But also, I guess she's always been married and in serious relationships too for a good portion of her celebrity dumb.
You know, she was able to get all that out through Sydney. You know, through Britain.
That's true. Maybe Sydney was a good outlet for her. I bet it was.
Yeah.
Chris, did you know she was a theater major?
I did.
Do you always get so? Chris and I were theater majors together. We've acted together a ton. Actually, we made our stage directorial debut together.
Same time. And
it was a double feature.
I really wish that one act. I spent more time just talking with you and getting to know more about, because I'm telling you, when it comes to theater, I believe you have the whole scope of it. You know, I was so fixated on like, all right, what are the actors doing? But you have the artistic knowledge as well as the technical knowledge, which is, you know, then when the two marry, they create you. And that's why, you know.
Aww, thank you, Chris Payne.
I'm just being serious, you know. You always, but it's no surprise though. A pedigree is something, I mean, obviously I know that you have show business in your blood. And for a while I was talking with your brother and I know he's a musician. You know, mm-hmm. Your dad is in film and television production. So, and your mom is a manager. She manages all y'all. She makes sure.
Do you get so excited when you hear that like a movie star was a theater major? Because I do.
It still gives me hope.
I'm not a theater major and it makes me excited because it's like, that's always what they've wanted to do and they've always been so dedicated at it. And like, look, now they get to go do it.
And she like, it's, I read that she did summer stock after she graduated, which is like where all theater majors go right after they graduate. Yeah. And she like climbed the ladder.
She was into the technical stuff too.
Yeah, no, she earned it, definitely. I remember reading an article when Alias was in its heyday about her being a New York City waitress for a couple of years before she got a break on Felicity. And I was like, dang, now I love her even more because like, she's just down to earth.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. She hustled. Wouldn't you love to see her do theater? Like I would love that for like a later in life move for her career.
Please. I could see her doing well in that. Yeah.
Like a play. I wonder if she can sing.
A little bit. Saturday Night Live showed me that a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. She was singing My Funny Valentine. It was the February 15th episode, 2003. She was
Saturday Night Live. Quite the memory.
Let me tell you, this is one of my loves. This is one of my cinematic loves. She just snuck up on me. I didn't even realize that she had put a spell on me until I was like, just like, wow, I'm really watching Alias every Sunday.
Do you know of her before Alias or is that when she got on your radar?
The preview of Alias came on and I was like, wow, that seems interesting. That's like a female James Bond. I said, and I saw her, you know, for a long time, they promoted her with that red wig.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went into some darker stuff. And then you saw her, she was a college kid who's a spy. I was like, wow, that's cool. And then
I didn't realize she was supposed to be in college. I obviously knew she was a young woman, but I didn't realize she was supposed to be like college kid.
Yeah, she was in college doing all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, that, you know, that looks good. Cause I mean, 2003, we don't have any streaming services.
Right.
Yeah.
And you still can't stream Alias anywhere, by the way. You have to pay for it on Amazon Prime.
JJ Abrams gonna get his money. He's not playing. Y'all got me with Lost. Now I'm mad about Lost because that was on Netflix for a while.
Yes, I love Lost. No, which speaking of J.J. Abrams, I didn't realize, knowing he did
Lost and Alias. I didn't realize he also was on doing Felicity, and that's where he first saw Jennifer Garner.
We got her. That's it.
And yeah, and then like apparently like he
sorry kind of like one of these things her. Is not like the others though, right?
Yeah, right, that for sure. That's why I thought that was so funny. It was like, wait, J.J. Abrams listening? I was like, that's wild to me.
J.J. Abrams, so him and I, we have things in common. You know, if you look at Felicity, look at Alias, and even in Lost, you have three strong female leads.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself raised by a strong woman. My mother was a school teacher.
I love your mom so much.
God bless her. Love her. You know, she taught kids and then came home with two animals, my brother and I. So she could barely get through the door. I married a strong woman who at any point in time will put me in check in English and Spanish. I'm okay.
And she's so beautiful. Have you ever seen Chris's wife?
I don't know.
I feel like I know her even though we've never met. And she's so, not that
maybe
I would
expect all this quarantine else, stuff, but she's it's a good so way to reason to get together.
I mean, I'm definitely, I married, a guy told me once, I put my belt on and I missed the loop. And he saw it. He said, you know you married above yourself, right? And I'm like, so much about my wife. Yeah, I married above my. She let me have this crush on Jennifer Garner simply because it happened before we even met. I'm in the clear for now, although she has recently confessed, not her love, but her fascination for Bruno Mars. So.
That's a good one. Yeah, I can see that.
Too good, unfortunately. But
well, you have Jennifer. Just, you know, she'll get you through.
I have JG, so we're good.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about your mom yesterday when I was thinking about how we were going to record this, and I was thinking that I was trying to think if I have ever met Preston, Chris's son, in person. And our sons are right around the same age, but I don't think that I've met Preston in person yet. But again, like, I feel like I know him. And I was thinking about when we get to the end of the Jennifer Garner stuff, we're going to talk about the art of theatrical ushery. And I went to one of your events for it, and Preston was like brand new. He wasn't there. But I was talking to your mom about it because he was like 3 weeks old. And I was talking to your mom, and she was like, oh, you're going to be next. When are you going to have one? And I was like, I'm pregnant. And I hadn't told anyone yet. I was pregnant with Judah, and it was like still not like public knowledge, but I told Mrs. Banks because she asked, and I love her. That.
Guys, she never told me that. I just knows how to keep a secret. My mom is serious. But, you know, strong women, though.
And your parents are the sweetest people. If we can have a short, like, if we can get off topic for a second to just like, can I have a love letter to the Banks family? I will never forget when we were in college, I were in the Three Penny Opera together, and the week before we opened, the actor who was playing the lead got into a really serious car accident and like is lucky to be alive today and couldn't do the show. And it was just like, it was such a trauma for everyone. It was like just such a big, it was just, I can't even, it was such a thing. And Chris's parents threw a dinner party for us as like a pick me up. And we called it the theater prom. We all got like really dressed up and went to their like beautiful home where they had a beautiful dinner for us.
That's
and
so cool. That's
all of us standing on their staircase like a prom.
You know, we.
And it's one of my favorite memories from college.
We really became a family. I mean, we spent a lot of time together down in the.
Yeah, we did.
You know, and I have only good memory. When I think back, obviously, that moment, that was, like, very heartbreaking for everybody. You know, that happened to him, and it was crazy.
He's doing okay, though. He manages a small theater in New York now.
Yeah, and he's married.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember when that happened.
He's best friends with my brother-in-law. So every now, I see him at, like, 4th of July and, like, New Year's and stuff.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
It was so good. I saw your brother-in-law, I believe, not too long ago. He looks good, and he looks happy.
Yeah.
He looks really good. Brother-in-law was also a theater major, right? Jeremy was a
yes. So what Jeremy was, yeah. So when I met my husband at Pitney at like our neighborhood bar in college, and we were like, yeah, on a Thursday, and we were like chit-chatting, and I, you know, said I was a theater major. I had been a theater major. This was like a couple years after college, and he was like, oh, my brother was a theater major, but I don't know if you would know him. He's a little bit older than you. And I was like, well, I might. Who is it? And he was like, you know, Jeremy Sawyer. And I was like, because I knew Jeremy because he actually replaced Colin when that accident happened, or there was some shifting and he ended up in the show. But his now wife was a good friend of mine. She was also a theater major. And their son, Keith, was like a baby at the time, but he's now my 14-year-old nephew. And he was like, oh, you know, Jeremy Sawyer. And I was like, I know Jeremy and Tara
and Keith, actually. And in that very first conversation with my husband, he told me that Tara was pregnant with our nephew, Remy, and was like, but you can't tell anyone. It's still a secret. I was like, you don't even know me. I might go tell everyone.
That's okay.
But I didn't. And now we have Remy.
Yeah. Well, it was good since you joined the family. You'd be that girl that was just ruining people's surprises.
Yep.
Keep the secret.
Yeah, but that was funny. So we always like joke that I've actually known Keith longer than I've known Jared.
Oh, that's funny.
My little
that's
nephew.
I like that.
You know who else can keep secrets good?
Who?
Sydney?
That's right.
Because she's a spy.
So, okay. So she says that Felicity, from what I was reading, Felicity was kind of like her breakout.
Yeah.
Although I don't think she was really a household name until Alias, but I was looking back, she did like a lot of TV movies. She did some episodes of Law and Order. Her first film credit is actually Dude, Where's My Car?
That's I know.
She's one of those the alien abductors.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering who Wanda was, but I was not going to go back and watch Dude, Where's My Car to find out. So I'm glad you knew.
Yeah, no.
She has a great scene in one of my favorite movies, Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Yeah, Catch Me If You Can.
One scene and she's incredible.
And like she gets to do a scene with Leonardo DiCaprio, mm-hmm. directed by Steven Spielberg.
Uh-huh.
At the beginning of her career. It's pretty epic.
Yep.
She was getting so big at the time, like she's only in that movie probably 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, if that.
5 minutes. I watched a clip today.
Yeah, they put her in the trailer, like,
it's such a memorable scene. When you put her on a screen and your eyes are going to go to her. She's so beautiful.
She is so beautiful in that movie too. Yeah. And like she plays, I was trying to remember like what her deal was and that she was on the cover of 17 magazine and she was like a famous model once upon a time.
Yes.
And it's actually kind of a sad because it's obviously like she's not famous anymore and she's like a prostitute.
Yeah. So she's like a high end like escort.
Yeah. And Leonardo DiCaprio like swindles money out of her. I was like, hey, she's a working girl.
She also has a small part in one of my favorite movies, Pearl Harbor.
She's the one with the glasses, right?
Yeah. She's the nurse with the glasses who, thank God, survives. Because.
And that's starring future husband.
That's ben where Affleck. She met Ben Affleck.
Now, I don't hear if, like, they don't really talk about them. Really, they like to say, oh, they got to know each other, but it's like, I don't think Ben Affleck really got to know her on that.
No, I'm sure Ben Affleck does not remember her from that movie.
Because she was like a very small like character.
I don't know that they didn't really have like scenes together. Like maybe that one scene where they all go to the dance before they leave for Hawaii.
Right. I was trying to think if they actually had other than like big group scenes, like anything. I don't think.
Yeah, no, they don't have anything like one-on-one. They didn't do any like acting together.
This is half the movie.
But she really became a household name when she was an Alias. She won a Golden Globe and a SAG award, and she had 4 Emmy nominations for that show. And while she was in Alias, she made Daredevil, Catch and Release, and 13 Going on 30. And she's worked like pretty steadily ever since. It seems like she makes like a movie every year or so.
Going back to the Golden Globes, she is one of those people the Golden Globes loves. A hot new actress on a hot new TV show. They love giving a Golden Globe randomly. Like Claire Danes is a big example for My So-Called Life. The girl from Jane the Virgin, she got one.
Like, okay.
And then Jennifer Garner. They love that. It's kind of fun though too, because these actresses who were relatively unknown, not even a year ago, like 6 months ago, are now a Golden Globe winner. And like, you know.
And good for them. That's nice.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Did you guys ever see The Invention of Lying?
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, Jared and I randomly watched that like a couple weeks ago, and she's in that with Ricky Gervais, and she's really funny. She's really cute in that.
She's a turn for doing like maybe some stuff on the more comedic but dramatic side.
Yeah.
You see the film Butter?
No.
I've never seen that. What's that?
This is where she is in direct competition with like a 10-year-old and they make sculptures out of butter.
Really?
That's cute. I remember it being on Netflix and like it being suggested to me.
I'll have to see if that's still on Netflix. That sounds cute.
That's dark. That's not Jennifer. That's Jen. She gets dark.
Is she kind of like a Tracy Flick where she's like super obsessed with winning?
There you go. That's exactly.
Oh, I love that. I love that for her.
Exactly. Yes.
I kind of like when she's kind of bitchy. Like, remember in Juno, she's the wife that's kind of like...
I loved her in Juno. That's another movie where she's not in that much of it, but she's so great.
So good. And at first, you're kind of like, what's your problem? And then you kind of like just really love her towards the end of that, though, too.
And Jason Bateman, who I love him anyway, but Jared and I just started Ozark this week.
Yeah.
Well, you guys Jason watched that yet? Bateman
turns out to be a creep in that, remember? He hits on her.
He does
turn out to disappoint us. He tries, you know, and then you're like on her side totally because not only is she carrying a baby, but now he's dancing to Mata Hoople and trying to, like, what's going on here? Like, wait, what? Yeah, no.
I feel like we should talk a little bit more about Alias. Chris, give Jessica and I...
Yeah,
like,
we've never seen an episode.
Convince us to watch Alias, because there might be other people on this that have never watched it either.
Convince you to watch Alias? You don't need much. Here we go. So... mild man is Sydney Bristow. She's living a college life. She's dating a famous, a soon to be famous in the future, but unknown actor at the time, this guy by the name of Bradley Cooper. he plays the boyfriend.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper's in the whole first season, but you know, I can't spoil too much of that for you.
Okay, don't spoil.
Bradley Cooper is her boyfriend in the first season. But you know, during the daytime, she's doing you know, scholastic studies and world history and languages. And then her long lost father shows up, a guy by the name of Jack Bristow. But they are strained because
Victor Garber, right?
Victor Garber is the
love
dad.
Him.
Yes. Oh, we love it.
Who they become super close to this day.
Yes, I have notes on that.
They spend so many tense moments acting like they hated each other. They're bound to love each other because what happens is the mother's whereabouts are all cloudy and they're confused, but then eventually the dad, he says, look, I need your help, and it's not in the way that I would normally need your help. I don't need you to like come bake me some cookies. I need some help with some stuff around the world. She's like, what are you talking about, dad? Turns out the dad is a part of a super secret, even more secret than the CIA. It's called SD6, super secret government organization. This is worse than B613. I don't know if you guys are in the scandal. Oh,
I got you.
This is worse than B613. These are the type of people, they do the underground work under the ground. So what happens is she tries just to do one mission with him. She wants to do something where it's like, okay, you just want me to steal some documents? That's fine. I'll take some documents. You got it. But then it turns out that she's really good at being a confidence person, at like gaining access and entry to places where she shouldn't normally. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is she realized she can get paid to do this. So then when anybody starts getting paid to do something, they want to come back and do it again, even though it's begrudgingly. And then you get in so deep that you can't get out. But while she's doing it, she starts meeting some fascinating people. One of them becomes a future boyfriend / husband / ex-husband, guy by the name of Vaughn, played by the actor Michael Vartan. Mm-hmm. They send out, there's a doppelganger in it. Her roommate is her friend, but then some shapeless entity steals her identity and turns into a doppelganger later on. She has to fight for her life to kill this person. She ends up in a coma for 3-4 years. She loses everything she had. She wakes back up. Then when she wakes back
up, everything.
I'm telling you, Alias will take you on. It'll take you from just a simple, this is maybe a romantic drama, romantic comedy, to an action spy thriller, to the most heartbreaking family drama you've ever heard. Turns out her mother is alive and she's a super secret spy with 3 identities. And then she comes back. Then they have to try to kill her.
Now, was the shtick of the show that every episode opened with her in like a disguise?
That's what the pretty much the first season was.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of where what happened with me when I started using my VHS player. Because there would be some outfits where I wanted to see again. As you know, there was no DVR back then.
Right.
So, you know, you're waiting for Sunday to come around. You set the VHS tape.
You record. I'm thinking you bought the seasons because the seasons would be on VHS, but you're talking about you were recorded.
I was recording.
Now that's dedication.
Well, it's just like it's Jennifer Garner for me. She's like that person she's that girl that you have a crush on and you can tell her you have a crush on. And she won't act weird after knowing that because she kind of knows, like, yeah, you know, I'm not saying that I'm all that, but I understand. She's very empathetic. And that's what made me always like her more because even though she was doing judo and jujitsu and kung fu and really kicking some major ass, she would feel, like, sad about it. as the character.
It hurts her more than it hurts them.
Yeah, I remember one episode where she was in the air. This is a lingerie clip. She's in the air with these Russian, they're like, is it Russian or is Eastern European something? Mm-hmm. Gangsters, terrorists, running guns, drugs, women. And she disables all of them while wearing a bra and a garter belt. But after it's done, she calls back to SD6, like apologetic. Like, I'm sorry, I had to. My life was on the line. It's like,
aww.
I know, you should have. You did the right thing. I'm glad you did that. So she almost killed Quentin Tarantino one time. He was on
the show. I watched that.
Yeah.
I tried to watch an episode before this. I didn't get a chance.
Oh, no, maybe I didn't read that. You told me that.
I told you that? Oh, okay.
I think Chris told me that.
No, Quentin was, he was a yeller. He just yelled the whole time. He was in bed with the arch nemesis named Arvin Sloan. This guy here, he was like their frenemy. Sometimes they would have to team up with him to accomplish a mission.
Like those characters on the show where like you don't know where their loyalty lies, and they're usually the most charismatic of the characters.
He made it all the way to the last season, and then you'll see what happens to him if you, you know. But let's just say he got his.
Now this show, did it get to have like a real ending to it? Like a real season, series finale or?
Oh, good question. Or did it like just get canceled?
Let me see, it went on 6 seasons now.
That's a respectable run.
Oh, that was, oh, well, for actually, some reason I thought it was shorter.
No, you know what? It got a real ending because it hit 102 episodes.
Wow.
It hit syndication, not as many as Lost. In some ways I feel like J.J. Abrams' character of Evangeline Lilly is like Sydney Bristow in Lost.
Just oh, like, Kate.
Yeah. It was like, okay, we'll just put her in Lost. So, because I.
Well, Kate was the outlaw, right?
Yeah. With the heart of gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, all this about Alias has really made me just like want to go back and.
Oh, there were 5
seasons. I hope you're prepared to pay J.J. Abrams 99 cents an episode because that's what it is on Amazon Prime.
He's killing me right now. I mean, I love him, but I'm a little frustrated with him with that.
I feel like it's 2020 and I'm annoyed about anything that I can't stream for free with one of the services I'm already paying for.
There's so many out there now. It's like so obnoxious if there's one that you can't get onto.
Can I tell you guys, speaking of, so I got very into, earlier this year, I got very into Little House on the Prairie with Michael Landon, and I was watching the whole series. I was obsessed with it. I went to watch it one day. It was on Amazon Prime, and now all of a sudden, it's not on Amazon Prime. You have to pay for it. And I was like 4 seasons in.
That's what happened to me when I watched Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey was free.
Oh, Downton Abbey's free now.
But then for the longest time, it wasn't. Just recently, right before the movie came out, became free again.
Oh, it's like, free now. I was watching it today, actually. I was watching an episode, and Judah, who, you know, my 7-year-old, was sitting with me, and he watched like almost the whole episode. And then finally, he looks at me and goes, "Do you understand what's going on here?" Yeah, buddy. It's, you know, it's for grown-ups.
Oh, I love that he tried to watch it, though.
Yeah. He likes British accents.
If he loves, I mean, there's a lot of different accents on Alias, too. She dives into, everything from...
That's probably fun for an actress. You get to try all these different dialects.
You get to try everything.
Yeah, and looks and whatnot.
Yeah, I bet that was a fun role for her.
And languages, too. Is that a dog?
Somebody's dog? Yeah, it's my dog.
I'm sorry. I just want to show y'all somebody real quick.
Uh-huh.
This is...
Preston!
Hi!
How are you, bud?
Siobhan.
Hey, thanks for coming on the pod.
You hungry? Yeah, he's hungry. He just wants to let me know that he's hungry.
Oh, that face.
Do you need a second to get him something?
Oh, no, his mommy is, she's got this under control because I'm here with you guys. So. This is, and that's what I like. Like, I saw Jennifer Garner talking to Katie Couric about the pandemic, and
mm-hmm.
It's like, there she goes again, doing something that I love.
Like, helping. Katie Couric's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, like, there was no reason for her to leave the show. Like, why? Like, she was great.
Well, I think she got a bigger deal somewhere else.
Yeah.
She's going to be the main, it was the nighttime anchor, right?
Yeah.
Katie Couric?
that's a reason.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, she had a good reason to leave. It just didn't work out, unfortunately.
And she didn't have to deal with Matt Lauer anymore, as it turns out.
Monster.
Because you remember when all that stuff with Matt Lauer came out and Katie Couric was like, they people, you know, the news would ask Katie Couric about it. And she was basically like, she was like, not surprised.
Now you know why. So,
yeah.
I had always suspected something. I was kind of mad at him for going at Tom Cruise, even though Tom Cruise was out of control that day. I was like, why are you provoking him? I was on Tom Cruise.
He was being glib. Yeah.
I love Tom Cruise. So
I'm with you, Chris.
I don't care for
Tom Cruise. 90s Tom Cruise. I like Tom Cruise.
I could live without Tom Cruise.
You're a suppressive person, Jess.
I want to show you my video, Jess, of how I tried to turn into Tom Cruise. I made it.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, I tried to get his.
Send it to me. We'll put it on our Instagram when this episode goes up.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I really tried to transform into him, but
I can't.
Should we get into the daredevil of it all?
Since no.
Oh gosh. Well, she's the original queen of the Marvel cinema. It's just that it wasn't a part of what has now become the MCU.
Right. This was in 2003 that it came out.
2003. It actually came out on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. I kind of remember that. It was definitely the beginning of the year. I do remember that came out.
Extremely romantic. She played Elektra Natchios, a Greek by descent, super ninja.
Were you familiar with the Daredevil comic books?
Oh, absolutely. The man.
Oh, you were? Okay. So did you think she was a good Elektra?
Oh, she was great. I mean, it made sense, you know, at the time, there's really not anybody else who's doing that level of physicality in show business.
Yeah.
Other than Lucy Lawless, but by this time, you know, she's a little too old. Xena had been off television for a while. So you have a character who's a ninja and in a way, like living a double life. So it's like, yo, she's hot right now. Like, in looks and in career.
You're right. She does seem like a natural choice to have played that.
I mean, just throw it. I, when I think about, you know, Scarlett Johansson hadn't come into that yet. And Mila Jovovich, she was off filming Resident Evil. So she was not available. So it's like, and then I'm sure, you know, Ben Affleck, he's already post-Oscar. He seems like he's a big star enough to, you know, pick somebody who you think you'll have chemistry with.
Yeah.
The premier characters, Spider-Man, Avengers, Daredevil. Daredevil?
Oh, we started talking about... Oh, I was asking you. So, Chris, you had read the comic books beforehand?
Oh, yes, yes. No, Daredevil, a lot of the Marvel comics, even the Hulk, they live in New York. You know, Metropolis was a, you know, even though it's a DC comic, but Metropolis is a type of New York. You fantasize you're flying through buildings or that you're Spider-Man web-slinging through the city. And true story, up until, and I grew up in Queens.
Oh, cool.
So, I didn't know that. When did you move to New Jersey?
Moved to New Jersey in 1991.
I didn't know that.
I was an 83 baby. And I went to school in New York until the second grade, but I spent every summer in New York until probably I was 19.
Oh.
So I always, you know, love going into the city with my dad. And sometimes we take the train and, you know, as a kid would do, you look up, you're looking all around the skyscrapers and everything. And you get to fantasizing that you, I think it was 2006. I had a World Trade Center ID card that I got when I was a little kid, when I was 6 years old. My dad had it there and I went with him and we moved. And so some things got lost, but I had this ID card and, that was kind of a bittersweet memory.
Yeah.
I have a matchbook from Windows on the World. That was like the restaurant that was at the very top. And my my godmother and my godfather took me there. And actually now they both passed away. So that's like my little memory. I remember my uncle was like, here, take this. You should have a matchbook from it. So I have that in like a little keepsake box.
These things that we get, you know, they are very dear and special to us, and we never know how, you know, how meaningful they really will become in the years. You know, that's why I love time. I love the passions of time.
We're living through it right now. I had a Zoom chat the other day with a couple of our other, and we were saying, like, we lived through 9/11. We thought we had our thing, and now we're like, living through a global pandemic. Like, you have college friends, Melissa and Katie. No idea.
Yeah, so.
Which is why I've been trying to explain to the kids, like, we're doing a time capsule. They have, like, pages they fill out every day, and I'm keeping a journal because I keep telling them, like, you're not really going to remember this, but people are going to talk about this for the rest of your life. This is a big deal.
Yeah. Judah might remember it better.
Yeah.
It's their moment. It's like, it's wild. I mean, one memory, you know, this is just seeing somebody that's massively famous. When I was a little kid at JFK Airport, I saw Muhammad Ali.
Really?
Oh, that's a good one.
And it's crazy. It's like, I remember, you know, he obviously he's tall because I'm short. I'm a little kid. But, you know, he had this black coat on, and I remember my grandfather yelling, "Hey, champ!" And I remember asking my dad, "Why is Grandpa yelling like that?" And, you know, obviously I didn't know why, but fast forward in 2000, it's the year 2000.
Wait, what did he do when your grandfather like called out to him?
He turned around. We saw his face. And he, because at this point in time, this is 1989. He's heavily, like the Parkinson's is starting to be onset with him.
Yeah.
So he can't really talk like he could. He had been retired from boxing for about 6 years, but now he's starting to, unfortunately, to get the tremors. So he did turn around and look, and I remember we saw his face, and then he turned back. But my brother went to school in Atlanta at a college called Morehouse College, very famous historically black university. And Muhammad Ali was there in 2000, and we saw him again. This time I was ready. So I tried to go up and take a picture with him, but a character that Jeffrey Wright played in the Will Smith movie, who was a real life person in Muhammad Ali's life, this guy named Howard Bingham, he said, "The champ's busy." And he didn't let me.
Oh.
But hey, I'll take that any day. It's like,
yeah, it's so cool you got to see him twice.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
the champ. But yeah, as far as like the comics go, Daredevil always inspired me because when you're growing up, you have to face a bully eventually. And Matt Murdock was a guy who was getting bullied and eventually lost his eyesight through some horrific circumstances. But you know, all these Marvel comics are like allegory tales. It was like through this horrific circumstance, he gained this extraordinary power, which he can see through sound and vibration.
And did you feel like Ben Affleck like filled that role well, or?
I'll be honest with you. In this moment, I'm loving Ben Affleck in this moment.
Really?
Oh, I'm loving him in this moment because this is like Dogma Ben Affleck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Dogma's good, yeah.
I'm loving Ben Affleck. Everything that he's touching is gold. This is Armageddon Ben Affleck, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is like prime Affleck. So I'm a big fan at this point. And also, I'm not aware that the comics can be given a gritty slant yet because Christopher Nolan hadn't done anything with Batman yet. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is still like Spider-Man and it's fun.
Expectations were a little lower.
Yeah, I'm not like, wow, Daredevil is a guy who is blind, who fights crime. That's extremely dangerous.
Because if you go back, I would suggest you go back and look at some of the fight scenes because I watched the one between Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck, the one when they first meet and he's trying to learn her name. It's so cheesy and it's like, I know action movies can hold up. I know they can because I just watched Jurassic Park and that was great. So like this is like way younger than Jurassic Park and it's just such cheesy like B movie status like fight scenes.
Can we be honest? When he did a backflip onto the seesaw?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's like a playground and all the little kids are like cheering them on. And there's like the scene where they're both like standing side by side and they like take off their jackets at the same time. And I'm just like, who fights like this?
And you know, the wire work wasn't what we needed it to be yet, because I guess we're still doing stunts outdoors. You know?
Right. It's a lot of cheesy, special effects and whatnot. Just also, make things look natural.
They were doing things, they were trying to play things on the safe side because actually, you know, produced by the same studio, almost the same people, Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, you know, Tobey almost was paralyzed on the first Spider-Man. Back really bad when they did his wire work. I mean, an ambitious project, and it's gonna be like, I feel like Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark is probably like Macbeth for some places now where you can't even say it. So going forward, they were trying to take it easy on the wire prone characters like Daredevil, even Ghost Rider. That's why I kind of got more into the CGI of it all when they're like don't even have them do a practice.
Spider-Man flying a Spider-Man is dangerous. Do you remember Spider-Man on Broadway?
Oh, they couldn't get it right.
I used to show the video of the guy falling onto the cement floor in the pit to my theater students when I taught high school.
Yes.
It's people. Julie Taymor is lucky no one died. No, it was such a flop. I actually read, there's a really interesting book if you're looking for a good quarantine read called Song of Spider-Man. And it's a memoir written by the guy who wrote like the book of the musical. So he was there for like the whole process and he wrote a memoir about it. Julie Taymor is batshit crazy. Like, I love her, but she's absolutely freaking insane.
A true genius. Too much. Too much genius. Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly, yeah. though, because yeah. she's incredible and I worship her, but she's insane. Yeah. And he gets into like a lot of her crazy and just how dangerous it was and how the Broadway community was like calling for her head on a stake, basically. They were saying, like, what, does someone have to die before she stops? Like, it's...
So what was it? It was, like, harnesses and them trying to make him fly that just kept not working?
And he flew all through the house.
Oh, even above the audience?
Yeah,
he flew, like, into the balcony. The song called Boy something about being, like, upside down or off the walls or something. I don't know.
I know that a big dangerous number in it, I remember reading about it, was the Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man had a fight. And that's when a lot of
Yeah, but the music wasn't good. Like, I remember seeing it on the Tonys and being like,
Where's another hit, Bono? Come on.
Yeah.
Someone, one of you sing a song from the show. I want to hear it.
I don't know any
song. I don't know a single song from the show.
See, that's a bad song.
I know there was
a lot of problems.
Like, the accidents happened. Yeah.
And that number, because you got a guy who's got these mechanical arms, and then he's supposed to be flying around him.
Because they work together on Across the Universe, her and Julie Taymor.
I don't know. It ended up being, it was the girl who went on to be in Next to Normal. She was.
I think it took so long for it to get actually to stage because of all the issues. Like, she couldn't, like, her.
And then it didn't run for that long. It, you know, it took huge losses, which obviously Julie Taymor doesn't care. I read some crazy number. I can't remember what it was. But the amount of money she still makes a week on The Lion King on Broadway, for anyone who doesn't know, she directed the original production of The Lion King on Broadway, is, like, insane. She can live off of that show for as long as it runs, probably longer.
And it's crazy that it was such a flop, too, because Bono did the music.
I talked to someone who saw it with her son, who was, like, young at the time, and she was, like, a dance teacher. She was a theater person. And she was, like, he happened to fly into the balcony and land right next to my son, so that made it worth the price of the ticket.
Right.
But otherwise, the show was, and that was the other thing, like, it was so dangerous, and also the show wasn't good.
Right.
Like, I remember definitely hearing it was not good.
The music wasn't good. I remember reading at one point that it would have to sell out every single performance for 8 years just to break even on the investment.
Wasn't Evan Rachel Wood supposed to be in it?
Like, I don't know if this is going to work out.
Yeah, it was like visually, you can see clips of it on YouTube. Visually, it was like really beautiful, but it wasn't.
I'll have to check it out. I'm curious to see what it looked like.
There's a YouTube video of the guy falling into the pit. He broke his back.
God, it was like Toby. Oh gosh.
There was an audience too. It was during a preview. There was a full Broadway audience and he just like singing Spider-Man.
Wow.
But still, I mean, not that that makes it better. Like it wasn't, you know, but it's just not someone who like I would have followed.
He got a lot of money for getting hurt that badly?
I don't know. Probably. No.
Has he been in anything else like since then? Like,
I'm not sure. It wasn't the guy. There were like multiple Spider-Men.
Oh.
There was like the kid who played Spider-Man, and then there were like others who did like a lot of like the stunts. And it was one of the other Spider-Men. It wasn't the kid who was like actually playing. Okay. I mean, they're union workers and he was hurt on the job.
Oh, yeah.
So
Daredevil musical would have went over way better.
A what musical?
Daredevil musical.
An Alias musical.
Ooh.
Listen,
I'm sure we'll see one. I believe, I've said this on the podcast a bunch of times, not everything needs to be a musical. I'm getting really tired of everything from the 90s being adapted into a musical.
It can't be. You know, everything is not a musical, you know? You can just make a play. And that,
right.
Sometimes I don't like when things are supposed to be musicals and then they're not. Because as we know, in a musical, it's like everyday life is happening and then we break into song.
Uh-huh.
That's how. But then you have a movie where they're at a concert and they're singing and you call that a musical. Wait, no, that's a movie with music.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
I want to see a true musical. So
yeah,
you know,
I'm with you.
This West Side Story reboot. And I hope that
I won't see that.
You're not doing it?
No.
No. Did the trailer just come out for that? I feel like also, I saw something about
it. Not everything needs to be remade. And we already have a literally perfect film of West Side Story.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was actually surprised Steven Spielberg was taking that on. I was like,
and they're not, they cut like songs from it too. Like, I forget what, but I know for sure they cut I Feel Pretty.
What? That's a classic.
Which is iconic. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not seeing that.
I love Ansel Elgort though. Mm.
We didn't need that movie. We were doing fine.
I know.
You loved it, Siobhan? Did you love it?
Oh, I love the original. I love Natalie Wood, so I love the original West Side Story. But I like Ansel Elgort. I'm really excited to hear him sing Somewhere. I hope it's good.
I know we're talking about JG, but I did some research on the original West Side Story, and it made me kind of dislike one of my favorite musicians, Miles Davis. I'm sorry to bring this up.
Why? Tell me about it.
Well, Miles Davis had a incredibly talented and also very good-looking wife at the time. Her name is Frances Davis, but before that, it was not Frances Lawrence, that's the director. I forgot her name, but Frances Davis, that's how she is remembered. She's remembered as Frances Davis. And Jerome Robbins cast her in West Side Story, and she's in all the numbers with Rita Moreno. Miles Davis says, "You need to be home with your husband."
No.
She drops out of the film.
What?
He goes on to physically abuse her, and they break up.
Oh, no.
Wait, so she was supposed to be in the movie, too?
In the movie and in the play and in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What is this? What is it for, then? What was our relationship for? You know, she was a very talented singer and dancer. So, anyway, I love Miles Davis. A lot of people love Miles Davis. But
yeah, they were married for 10 years.
Yeah, you see that? Frances Davis, I forgot, she had I forgot her maiden name, but she was a model, actress, dancer.
She's so cute.
Oh, she is so cute.
So cute.
And that's the cover of one of his albums called
Sketches. Someday My Prince Will Come.
Exactly.
Aww.
I should have had this as the opening songs to the Prince William episode.
So we go see Daredevil, and I'm wearing red. She's wearing red, and you'll be my Valentine.
Yeah.
We'll go see this movie together. We go see the Daredevil, but my brother says, "I want to go too." Oh, that's cool. I said, "Who are you bringing?" He said, "Nobody." I said, "Wait, I have a date though. Kind of, I have a date in a way." So whatever. He does bring somebody.
Okay, good.
It's another guy though. it's a friend of ours who was like our brother. But we go to see Daredevil. It's myself, my Valentine.
So your date just got turned into like a group hang.
Not only did it get turned into a group hang, but the young lady that I asked to go with, she left with my brother's friend.
No!
No! Oh, Chris!
So it's moments like these where I had Daredevil-like ability, and I just wanted to do to him. I'm like, wait, what? And so she said, okay, well, thanks, Chris. It was good. I paid for her ticket and everything.
No.
Yeah. Girl, that was not nice.
So now I'm kind of like, I'm burning. I'm burning with vengeance.
Girls, don't do that to guys. That's so rude.
I went from feeling like Daredevil to feeling like his arch nemesis, Bullseye. I said, like, I'm coming for you, man. You know, as we're watching this film, too, I'm like, I'm feeling her slip away from, not that we said we were dating, but we definitely came together.
We're like on a date.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay for, if I take either of you ladies out ever, I will pay for you. Even if we go out now, I'm going to pay for you. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to assume we're on a date and it's very romantic.
I'm a gentleman, okay? And that's how I was raised. That's how I'm raising my son. And Daredevil's a gentleman. He's a blind gentleman, but he's a gentleman. So I was so confused about that situation. And it's so funny, whenever that movie comes on, it's like the drama on that film was playing out in the drama in my life, February 14th, 2003.
Day which will live in infamy.
God, that's so funny.
I'm good, but you know, it happened. He's happy.
No, it worked out.
You're a stronger man for it.
I'm stronger. You know, I was able to find my wife. You know, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not mad, so.
There you go.
This is going to take us into Ben Affleck. So real quick, do you want to go through her two like serious relationships before that?
Sure.
Okay, I got some stuff. So she met Scott Foley. Remember him? There's a random like 90s actor.
He went on Scandal too. Speaking of Scandal, yeah.
Did he? He's
in the Shonda Rhimes universe now.
He became Command. That was his character.
He starts dating Olivia at one point.
Yes, Daredevil. Actually, Daredevil's kind of funny. You want to know about some funny stuff with Daredevil?
I'll tell sure.
you. I'll tell
you. That's what we're here for.
I'll tell you some inside stuff about Daredevil. So Daredevil comes out, like I said, Valentine's Day, 2003, February 14th. And this young lady that I invited to go see the movie with, we had made an arrangement like a year before, if not, kind of like how you and Matt and Siobhan all got together and y'all would do like a mm-hmm. Valentine's Day. So me and this young lady, I'd said to her, you know, if you don't have a Valentine.
Yeah. So they met on Felicity in 1998. They got married in 2000. Right. And they separated in 2003. But apparently it was very, like, it was fine. In 2013, in an interview, she said, oh, he's a great guy. We were full-on grown-ups. But looking back, I'm aware that we did not know what hit us. We didn't have a shot. He's a really good guy, and we just imploded. So I assume she's referring to being like a celebrity couple.
Right. She made another, I read something else where she also made a similar comment where she was basically, yeah, saying that like nothing horrible happened, but it was just that the Hollywood lifestyle, I think she even said, she's like, I know this sounds like a cliche, but it's just true. It was just like Hollywood just got in the way. And she said, yeah. If we had still like, were living in my hometown, we'd probably still be married.
You see the
letter? Oh, that's sad. That sounds similar to Julia. Remember we talked about Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett.
Yeah.
And it sounds like similar. Like they really loved each other and they were happy, but it just like between like the paparazzi and then their schedules and it didn't work.
But I think you just nailed it there, Jess. You brought up Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Garner is
dead. To this day she
well he's him. The father of her children, but a lot of women I think would see not it see way. It that way. Yeah,
broke up their marriage, or like, you know, they filed for divorce in the middle of 2003, and she had already filmed Daredevil with Ben Affleck and had already come out in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Ben Affleck was dating Jennifer Lopez at the time,
right?
And
saw them together at the Borgata when I worked at the Borgata in college. No one was allowed to go near them, but they were there.
You saw them though. Man.
Jinx. So then she dated Michael Vartan.
Right.
Now I think it's interesting to point out. So they.
Yeah. Yep.
The next coming of Julia Roberts in a way.
Yes, I can see that. Where I find her much more likable, actually.
She carries herself with dignity, and she's not about to bash this guy mm-hmm. Scott Foley when mm-hmm. some people would take that cheap
shot. She's never even really bashed Ben Affleck, and we're going to get into that. He would deserve it.
And she's been helping him. She helped him through what I didn't know was with his alcoholism.
Yeah. No, she...
So classy. They were there. So then she met Michael Vartan on...
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he's a much more appropriate teacher than Michael Vartan was and never been kissed.
Yes, they've right. never been kissed. So they dated from 2003 to 2004, Alias, who we've talked about before because we did an episode about Never Been Kissed.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and we enjoy Michael Vartan. My husband often gets told that he looks like Michael Vartan.
Is Vartan?
And they broke up, but again, like, apparently, like, everything's fine. He told USA Today, Jennifer and I were best friends first, during, like, the romance, and after. Mm. And just recently, in 2018, she wished him a happy 50th birthday on Instagram.
That's why I saw something where she, like, was giving him a shout-out. And I was like, well, that's really nice after all that time.
Yeah, so they're still friends. And then she meets Ben Affleck, who, like, I feel like the scandal, everything that, like, came after with this, I feel like it just makes her even more relatable because she's like...
You know, there's an Abbott and Costello, Martin and Lewis thing with...
Yeah. Chris, were you? You must have been there. So Chris and I had acting one together, which, like, in our college theater program, we always said, like, your acting one class is, like, your... theater family. We went through uh-huh. like every class together after that. I think we were in acting three. I think this was like years later. I remember asking Pam, who was our acting professor, we were asking her like what movie actors she thought were like good actors that could like hang in theater. And we asked her about Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And she told us that she thought Matt Damon was a great actor and that Ben Affleck was just riding his coattails.
Yeah.
She said in 2016, like a year after they separated, that they weren't divorced yet, she told Vanity Fair, "He's the love of my life. What am I going to do about that? He's the most brilliant person in any room, the most charismatic, the most generous. He's just a complicated guy. I always say, when his sun shines on you, you feel it. But when the sun is shining elsewhere, it's cold. He can cast quite a shadow."
See that? See?
Oh, does that not make you want to punch him in the face for ever hurting our beloved Jennifer Garner?
You know what, Ben? Get yourself together, man. Like,
He can't. He can't get himself, as much as she tries to keep pulling the pieces back together. And I love Ben Affleck, but she tries so hard and he just crumbles.
I just want to tell him to wash his face. Because
is he the most brilliant person in any room? I feel like we associate him with Matt Damon, who probably is the most brilliant person in any room.
Yeah, Matt Damon. I mean, they're definitely like a...
He really did have that reputation for like a really long time. I think it was like, he didn't get really a lot of respect truly until he started directing.
Yeah, because he's not, because we, you know, he's Academy Award winner Ben Affleck, which is like fine, he is, but like not for acting, right?
Not for acting.
I think he has like a reputation, especially back in the day, for being like very like bro-ish.
Yeah, that's
I don't think that got him like a lot of
Matt and Ben when I directed it. Did you see the play Matt and Ben when I directed it?
Yeah, I knew you were working on it, but I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, at our alma mater, they brought me back as a guest director a few years ago, and I directed Mindy Kaling and Brenda Withers' play Matt and Ben. So the premise of this play, for anyone who, I guess most people would be unfamiliar with the play, the premise of this play is that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are struggling actors in Boston. They're like living together as roommates. At this point, they've made and it's like brilliant and hilarious. And even like 4 years later, I still will bump into people from like that community who will tell me how great that production was. And I always tell them like
school ties.
And they thought that was going to like blow up their career, but it didn't. And they're like sitting around their apartment and the complete script for Good Will Hunting drops from the sky onto their coffee table. And the play is about them like deciding what they're going to do with it, but they're both played by women. I did nothing. It's just funny. Like, you just have to pick the right actresses and put them on stage. Like, I can't take credit for how funny that play
is. That one was very enjoyable.
Yeah, if you're looking for a good quarantine read, I would suggest you read that play or look for like videos. When they did it off Broadway, Mindy Kaling played Ben Affleck and Brenda Withers played Matt Damon. And it's just so funny, but it really sets Ben Affleck up as like the idiot that Matt Damon has to like kind of drag along with
him. I know. And it's so funny because I was in college around the time that came out, and that was such like an underground like hit around the city that it was like everybody was talking about it. And I just remember walking down like the streets and having like the billboard, like the posters like plastered everywhere.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And then it was just so funny.
Chris, if I can find my script, I will send it to you because I feel like you would really like it.
I'm all wrapped up in it right now. You know, and that's one thing that I do, I appreciate about you is that you have such varied taste.
Every good girl who has ever fallen for like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a guy in a relationship and stuff too. Yeah.
It's almost like one girl playing itself out in real life. Almost.
Yeah, because there was definitely sparks that were there when you saw during like the Daredevil stuff and when they were promoting that, because there's this show, I think it's called Dinner for Five, and there's like, it's her, Ben Affleck, Colin Farrell, I think Kevin Smith was the host of it, and Jon Favreau were all in it. It's because they were all in Daredevil together. Mm-hmm. And you know, Kevin Smith has known Ben Affleck forever, and he like starts making fun of him at one point, and she's like, I will mess you up. She's like,
aww,
punch you if you keep doing it. It was like, she like immediately, it's kind of like if you saw like someone's making fun of Jared, you'd be like, yo, shut up.
Stop. Yeah.
My husband. And she just like looks at him so lovingly throughout
this even after they divorced, she called him the love of her life.
Do you guys want to hear a sad quote?
Because we have to have you on all the time. You're so full of compliments.
I know.
I'm serious, though. We were just talking about West Side Story, which is, you can't get more mainstream than that. And now we're on Matt and Ben.
That play is so funny. When I proposed it, I did not think in a million years that Pam would pick it. I gave her, like, four plays. And that was the one I threw in, like, just in case she would consider it. And she emailed me, and she was like, if we picked Matt and Ben, would you cast women? And I was like, yeah, that's the way it's written. And she was like, okay. And she picked it. And it was, like...
Yeah, I'm sad that I missed that.
It was so much fun. It's so funny.
Very charming.
Yeah, I'll send it to you to read. It's so funny. But like, yeah, it definitely like sets Ben Affleck up as like the idiot of the two of them, and like always like kind of like ruining everything for them. But it's really sweet. In the end, the play ends. They're like, you know, they read the script and they're like talking about what they're gonna do, and it ends like with, as far as like the dialogue, kind of like up in the air, but then the lights go down and the audio of their Oscar acceptance speech plays, and that's the end of the play,
which is still one of the best,
and it made me cry every time.
It's so great. Acceptance speeches of all time. They just can't get over it. It's on par with the Cuba Gooding Jr. just so excited, jumping out of your skin, you just can't believe it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're so cute. It's so cute. But yeah, so you can see why a girl like Jennifer Garner would be like taken with him.
I mean, this guy he's a movie star. Like, we cannot. And plus, you know, in the little bit, like to touch on something we said earlier about you know, the access Jennifer Garner has to beauty and skincare. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just an ordinary guy, you know, where I go to Wawa. If I was on a movie set and I'm doing, if my first movie, all of a sudden, let's say Jennifer Garner is in a movie that I'm doing. I had this experience once. I did a background episode. I was on Ugly Betty doing background.
Right? I didn't know that.
I did. I was on
that. I like Ugly Betty.
Yeah, it was fun. But you know, America Ferrera, she looked in my direction. Mm-hmm. And she waved. And I'm like, you know, that friend was more on the outside of the theater.
He was a poli-sci major.
He was a poli-sci major. And he really was like not a guy. And he was my friend too. Is my friend. He was not a guy though who was looking to come into something. But I credit you for bringing him in.
I bullied him into it.
I think I know exactly who you guys are talking about.
He reminded me of James Dean, and I wanted to
ask. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He was and is. And still is, I think he's a great actor.
He's incredible. To this day, he and I did, remember when we did that Future of the Arts showcase?
Of course.
He and I did a scene from Angels in America, and I always like will refer to that as like one of the only times in my life as a theater actor where I really felt like I completely lost myself.
And like, like I'm charmed. Like I was charmed. She kind of reminded me of my wife too. You know, you have a Latin woman, pretty, sweet face, look honest eyes, curly hair. I was kind of like, oh, like, wow. So being in a close quarters with a star, you get overtaken by their star
power. Yeah.
It can happen. I met Chris Rock at a actor studio, and
I want to talk about that. I didn't realize until you just posted something on Instagram that you got to go to Inside the Actor's Studio.
That happened. That was, listen.
Yeah, a friend of ours went to the Actor's Studio after undergrad.
Who, you know what? And I'm going to tell you, that friend should thank you, Jessica, because
whenever it's often, you
know, can be, Ben Affleck, he might not even realize Wawa exists now because of the type of lifestyle that he lives.
Well, they don't have Wawa in Boston, so he wouldn't have grown up with it.
So that's the first thing. They don't have Wawa. But he's such a star. It's like, dude.
But you know what? I bet you he does know Wawa because he's been in a bunch of Kevin Smith movies in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I get your point. I know that's not your point. Go ahead.
It's just like, you know, us being, at least I'm just speaking for myself, being an ordinary guy.
I feel like I blacked out. And I remember walking through the fire hall with him afterwards going, that was good, right? And he was like, that was really good. And we were like, kind of like just coming back in. And like, I think that might be the only time I've ever like truly like disappeared into a role. And I would have to credit him with that. He was an incredible scene partner.
If you guys could understand the word magnitude, that's like what I felt from that scene. Cause I got to host that showcase.
Yes, you did. That's right.
Bringing y'all up. And after it was over, it was like energy in the room still.
Yeah, it was one scene. It was my favorite thing I've ever done.
It was powerful. Ask me. I was like, whoa. Like, you guys
get so hot. We did this scene from Angels in America where we played a husband and wife, and the wife like is crazy and also knows that he's gay and that he's been like sneaking around like with men, but they're like Mormons and you know, this whole thing. And we did the scene where she finally like confronts him about it. And he won't give her a straight answer. So at the end, she tells him that she's pregnant and then that she's not, and then she won't tell him which one is true. And that's like the end.
That's it.
So. It was really good. Yeah. But yeah, so he brought you to be inside the Actor's Studio and you saw Chris Rock.
I saw Chris Rock and I was totally starstruck. I
mean, as one would be, yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, my hand was
shaking. How many people get to sit in on it?
There's probably about 100 people in there.
That's what I was thinking, probably like 100 or less, I bet.
But our friend, he was up close because he was a student at Pace. So
yeah.
I was, you know, Chris Rock's eyes. I mean, he was right there. I was looking at James Lipton.
You see our friend in the front row in the Matt Damon episode too. Because I watched that episode with my actresses for Matt and Ben, and we were watching it. And I was like, oh my God, he went to Stockton with me. He was in my theater for my theater class.
You could see him in a few of them, even the Eddie Murphy one too. He's there. But yeah, being on set, like I've done two stage kisses in the time that I did Stockton Theater. And one was in rehearsal, like at a at acting class. I did one in acting class. And then I did.
Who did you kiss?
Do you remember Stephanie? You know, you and I can only imagine that I did that one, and then I did one in a show. And in the show is different. Not that you feel something, but you are creating this moment for the audience. Mm-hmm. So your body doesn't know that this is like, your mind is like, yeah, this is fake, but you can't control your entire body, you know, throughout your life. Obviously, Ben Affleck has been more famous than Jennifer.
Right. Right.
She's in a movie with Ben Affleck. He's in the prime of his career. She's into her prime. Of course they're going to get swept up.
This, right.
What else is supposed to happen? I mean, he's fully styled. He has access to the best stylist.
Mm-hmm.
Or is she? So
and looking, he's handsome. He's a good-looking guy.
He's looking anyway. You know, he started out as a heartthrob. It's not like he became one.
Right.
He was one. He is one.
Chris, yeah. I want to do an episode on Matt and Ben together.
Yeah.
I'm already tuned in. I already subscribed. But, yeah, I'm just saying, like, one of the biggest things is I can understand how all these relationships can happen and fall apart because, dude, we're like going hardcore. We're really acting. If it's someone that you've seen, so.
Yes.
We kissed. Anyway, I understand.
I think it's interesting that they didn't get together for really like over a full year afterwards, or at least when they went public.
But when they did, listen to this, guys, I didn't know this timeline until today. So they announced they were dating in 2004. They got engaged in April of 2005. They got married in June of 2005. And their first daughter was born in December of 2005.
I didn't ever got that until today either when I was looking at it. Yeah, she was a few months pregnant when they got
married. And I really like to think that she was like a good Southern girl and found out she was pregnant and was like, you're going to marry me.
I like to see that her dad came up and was like, well, son, what are we going to do about this?
Southern girl. And he was a reckless Yankee, you know, and she was a good Southern girl. And they got, and that's how it went down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were married by Victor Garber.
Yes. Who is also their daughter's godfather.
Wow.
And then today on Instagram, she was doing, I guess there's a lot of challenges going on. Like, you know, there's like the ice bucket challenge, all that stuff, and you call people out. So she was doing all these challenges in a row. And it was like, you know, I stay inside for, and she had a sign. And it was like, my kids, and then Victor Garber.
Did you
see? Aww.
And then
I love that.
She took a picture of herself in the middle of the challenge because she did all the challenges.
Yes. Oh, you saw that too. Oh, yeah. That was so cute.
I follow her.
I know. I love her cooking, her non-cooking shows or pretend cooking shows. That's
what I'm always like fascinated by her house too. I'm always like looking behind her to like check out her kitchen.
Her kitchen's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the ice bucket challenge, she did one back when it was big with Ben Affleck and everything. And it just looked like, wow, they're so happy, which is why I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, she said, I have another quote from her. She told Vanity Fair, it was a real marriage. It wasn't for the cameras. And it was a huge priority for me to stay in it. And that did not work. It
didn't work out.
Poor Jennifer Garner. Like she really, and I would imagine it would be important to her to like keep her family together.
They were married. They were together for a good chunk of time. They were married for 10 years before 10 years. They filed for the divorce.
Yeah. And they announced their split the day after their 10-year wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, being married.
I think says a lot about her, like how he continued to like live, not necessarily in the house, but in the guest house. Like she wanted to make sure he was close to like the girls. And like, I could see they always were together, like taking the kids to church, even when he wasn't. I think when he moved out, like they still make sure they go to church together every Sunday. Like it seems like she's very, and obviously this I feel like is obviously a testament more to her because he's had his issues, that she wants to keep that family unit and like the kids and him together.
Yeah.
I could see like her also being the kind that like the kids don't probably know anything of like infidelity and all
that. Well, so it's funny you say that because I read that, cause you know, so then all these rumors came out that they divorced because he was having an affair with the nanny.
Right.
And she said in an article I was reading that the nanny is not the reason that they divorced. She said she didn't hear anything about the nanny until months later. She said, obviously that was like a bad decision on his part to be involved with the nanny, but she said what was so sad, like such a mom concern. What she was most concerned about was that this woman had been the kid's nanny for years and then suddenly she was gone. And that was really hard on the kids. And she said the kids were like seeing things about it, like on the news and on TV. And so she said she had to have conversations about like what the word scandal means with her kids.
That's so depressing.
So sad.
And this is just the reason he just loves her so much is because, once again, she's putting everybody else before herself, not realizing that she's the real prize. So.
Oh.
Yeah, she does seem like the type of person that puts, like, everyone before, especially her kids.
Yeah, she's a strong woman.
Yeah. And, I mean, we haven't even mentioned she, the last time Ben Affleck went to rehab, who drove him there but Jennifer Garner?
And she got the paparazzi away from him.
She took him for drive-thru on the way there.
Likes him as a person, but she keeps telling him that she can't marry him because obviously she's so good looking and she needs someone who has like matching like DNA so she can have these like perfect, genetically perfect children. And it's just so funny seeing her like in every scene she talks about how good looking she is when like, you know, normally Jennifer Garner, which she is, but you know, normally she just always comes across as like so humble and so down to earth and she just plays this like, and her character isn't even like unlikable, but she just like she wants to marry someone who's beautiful like she is so they can have beautiful children.
Yeah, true.
She keeps saying she doesn't want little snub-nosed babies.
No. I remember that part. Yeah.
I got something for y'all. True confession right now.
Mm-hmm.
2003, I made a fan video of Jennifer Garner.
No.
You have to send it to us so we can put it on the pod.
That's going on the gram.
With different pictures. I mean, everything classy. Obviously, she didn't ever pose nude or nothing like that. It was just pictures of her, headshots, pictures from shows.
Do you have it? This is close to them. Expect them to get engaged this summer.
Oh. She needs someone that puts her on a pedestal and thinks like takes care of her.
She's the prize. Yes, she's the prize.
Yes.
Did you guys know that according to the Nielsen ratings, she is the number one most popular female spokeswoman, like in commercials and stuff?
I could see that. Well, she's so relatable. We trust her.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's relatable.
She wouldn't lie to us.
Wouldn't lie to us. No.
No.
I remember throwing away a Maxim magazine that she was featured in because somebody once criticized her and said her lips are too big. I was pissed.
No, her lips are perfect.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Say what you want about Daredevil. Again, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Yes. Yes. And she didn't need, they didn't need to give her hazel contacts. Her eyes are beautiful how they are. Thank you very much.
And she has like really just cool facial features, like a cool facial structure. She doesn't look like everybody else.
In The Invention of Lying, it's really funny because she plays like, you know, the premise of that movie is that like Ricky Gervais figures out how to lie, like in a world where nobody lies, like it just hasn't occurred to them that you can say things that aren't true. And so Jennifer Garner plays this woman that he's in love with and she like...
I will look for it.
Find it, yeah.
Because it'll be on DVD. This is 03. I said it to a song by the Notorious B.I.G. Rest in peace.
What song?
It's a song called Can't You See? And the gist of the song is how, you know, can't you see what you're doing to me? I'm, you know, I was like going to make this video and email it to her. That was my thing. I'm being serious right now. I made one for Halle Berry. I scrapped it. But I kept the one for Jennifer Garner. I made it for her. I collected photos from the internet at the time. I don't think Google was out yet, so I guess I just used AOL.
Oh, this is like back, way back.
Oh, yeah, this is 03. I was heavy into Jennifer Garner. So it just came over me. HBO?
Yeah.
I'm not watching Camping, I'll be honest. I need to watch Camping.
I was curious just because mainly because she was in it. That I was like, oh, I wonder what this is like.
My wife was actually criticizing what I watched last night.
What did you watch last night?
Well, she claims that every night I go to sleep, what did you say?
I've woken up to more gunshots.
So that's not comforting when you go to bed.
I guess. Well, one night I said I need to go to sleep. I need to watch something relaxing, and I put on Fight Club. I don't know.
That's not relaxing. That's not relaxing at all.
Sick. I put on The Hateful Eight. I don't know. I'm sick. I need help.
That's why we don't have a TV in our bedroom. I have to watch all my like late night stuff. Like I'll watch to go to sleep. I'll watch like Downton Abbey, and Jared can't stand listening to their accents.
Done with that.
So I either have to stay downstairs and watch it, and he goes to bed, or I watch it on my iPad with my AirPods.
Yeah, honey said that she's mad. Well, basically, so I should probably turn on camping. And for a while there, I'll be honest, like, having Hollywood crushes kind of got in the way of my marriage early on. But I'm good. I think I was probably too outspoken about what I thought of her beauty. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that, you know, gotta tone it down a little bit. We don't.
I got a taste of my own medicine when she started talking about who she likes. So
yeah, Bruno.
So Bruno Mars, who else?
Did you watch her TV show Camping?
She is. We don't deserve her.
I'm like, yo, what's this guy Affleck?
She's too good for this world, and certainly too good for Ben Affleck.
Yeah, brush your teeth and then figure it out, Ben Affleck.
Although Ben Affleck has one of my favorite memes, the one where he's standing outside and he's like,
yeah,
with the cigarette.
Oh, Ben Affleck. Well, she's dating a businessman named John Miller right now. I don't know what kind of business he's in. He seems very normal. And
I like that for her. I like a non-Hollywood choice. Too. I feel like he'll appreciate her more.
So we got Bruno Mars, obviously. There's an actor named Morris Chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
So she loves his abs. I don't have any abs.
No, he's very handsome.
Brad Pitt, of course. I can't compete with him. I also think he's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adrian Brody.
I couldn't
hear enough about Adrian Brody when we first got. And of course Leonardo DiCaprio, but I think.
Well, of course.
Y'all love him too.
Yeah. We're talking about movies. So what are your quarantine suggestions for people that might be trying to find something new to get into? Doesn't have to be movies. It could be whatever you're into.
Well, absolutely, definitely get into Alias. But you know, there's that whole thing about the 99 cents, so funds are low right now. my dad is so funny. He said there's another virus going around. It's called Mafunzalo. So you know, don't do that. But I discovered a show on FX on Hulu that is kind of funny. It's called Jerome No. It's about a guy trying to lose his feelings. He gets into a lot of relationships and he gets his heart broken easily. But now he's trying to get tough. So.
Oh, and what's it called?
Oh, Jerome, No.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. That sounds cool.
That's pretty interesting.
I'm writing these down.
I kind of enjoy that. You know, I love, like I said, I love strong women. So I'm getting into this, what is it like? Every Little Lie or something like
pretty
that?
Pretty Little Liars.
No. The one with Kerry Washington.
Or not Pretty Little Liars. Big,
Fire?
I know exactly what you mean. I read the book.
Yeah, that one. Oh, you read it. See, you always
have Little Fires Everywhere.
See, No. The other one.
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies, yeah.
Big Little Lies. I'm doing that one.
Wait, no, but you said you want to watch the one with Kerry Washington.
I do want to watch that one, too.
That's the one on Hulu. That's different.
Hulu, okay.
See, yeah, because I want to watch that, too. That looks good. Reese is in both, though. Reese Witherspoon is in both of those.
And also, I tried to convince my wife that I can exist in two different timelines recently. So I watched them on YouTube, and I watched movies with her simultaneously. She didn't believe me, so she walked away. So, you know, I don't know.
What do you like on YouTube?
Oh, gosh. There's so many different content creators putting out, like, stuff about video game history, because I love video
games. Oh, I watch those, too.
The guy, a video game historian, he's fascinating.
Yeah, I just started getting into those, because my boyfriend likes, he, like, will watch, like, Minecraft videos and, like, Mario Maker videos, and so then we got into the game history ones. I found those.
They're good, though.
They are good. I like the Mario Maker ones.
Wow. So I get wrapped up in that. I kind of am finding my kid, like, I keep thinking about myself as at my son's age when he's 8. So I kind of get lost in his stuff sometimes.
Mm. That's cool. What's Preston watching?
He loved about it because it was kind of scary.
Wait, say that again because you froze for a second.
Oh, have you ever heard of Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yes.
Okay. So I was against it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found a channel with all this music, and he's very musical. He has good pitch. Like, he always corrects us when we're off.
Oh, that's awesome.
My dad is the one who's really musical in the family. Yeah. So my dad is like, nah, he's right. Listen to him. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So he gets into that, and he loves trains. Like, not Thomas, but real trains.
So does my nephew.
Yeah, so we're watching stuff about trains for hours, and just the mechanics, and he's like, Daddy, that's a 268, or that's a 3439 setup, and he knows the
Charlie world. Will watch ones where it's just the train, literally, like, just music, no words, no nothing, no plot, just the train, just driving around, like, you know, doing its thing. He loves them.
He loves it. So, you know, we're watching that, and, you know, that it's fun. It's like, wow. I don't know. I learned a lot from just watching him.
Well, it's nice you could share things.
My kids recently discovered The Rock and Jack Black because they just watched both Jumanji movies.
And they love it.
So we've been making our way through their movies. We watched both Jumanjis. We watched School of Rock the other day, which Judah really liked.
Yes.
And we watched, I can't think of what it was called now, but that movie with The Rock where, like, the little girl shows up on his doorstep.
I was just about to suggest that one, being like, go watch The Pacifier. Yeah.
We watched that one, and that was cute.
Yeah. Pacifier sucked me in on TV. I usually don't watch TV, like movies on TV with commercials, and it just sucked me in one day.
I watched all those movies with the big tough guy. Those are always great. I just showed Preston Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Oh, you should show them that, Jess.
Yeah. Judah would like that because he has like an Arnold Schwarzenegger action figure that was Jared's when he was little, and for some reason he calls it the farmer. He like has since he was like two, but he does like the voice, so he'll be like the farmer when he's like playing with it, but I don't know that he's ever actually seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
That's a good one. That's
the, you know, the, yeah. It's pretty amazing. Like this Christmas I got my son toys that I had when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
He had toys that were from then.
Jessica and I were just talking about that.
My daughter has, like, I know you remember, like, all the girl toys, but my daughter has, like, a Polly Pocket, which was, like, a very popular toy when we were young. She has my Magic Nursery Baby from, like, the early 90s.
When it comes to Jennifer Garner, she's a Marvin classic, and that's why
she's an icon.
Yeah.
J.J. Abraham's wife called her the anti-diva, which I loved.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the one who's like, can you settle down? Like, why... There's people who probably give such a fuss and don't have near the level of talent or humility, grace that she possesses.
One thing I read today was that, I guess, like, on the set of Alias, they gifted her, like, a pink bike that she could ride around set that had a bell. And when she would see people, she would greet them by ringing the bell.
Oh, my God. She's so cute.
And they said she would always be, like, the first person on set. So it's, like, everyone would get greeted by her.
The episode called Back, the one where she's in the air on the plane coming out on the lingerie. I mean,
that she plays with.
And it's not something you even forced on her, is it? It's just
something. No, it's just baby doll. Yeah.
A good toy is a good toy. And that's the end of it, basically.
That's what's been the nice thing, because I don't have kids, but I have, like, my nephew's four and, like, my friends have kids. So it's kind of cool. Like, it's very comforting when I see certain things are still cool, like Polly Pocket, like that came around. I was like, it's very comforting to me that
these. I just got her fashion plates for Easter. I'm so excited to give them to her.
And I had fashion plates. I totally remember those.
And like Barbie, obviously, she's really into Barbie.
Yes.
And that's a phrase that I use often. You know, you say these things are classics. You know, classic things. And she said that you know, when she came out, the sound guys didn't want to look at her. Obviously, you don't want to stare. You never want to stare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that it was such a problem that the mic kept going in the shot.
Aww. That sounds very respectful, though, at the same time.
They're trying not to look, but they're messing up also.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yes.
We need to talk about your stuff.
This is a good thing.
Chris made a movie. Or it was a TV show, right? It was a series.
Yeah, I thought it was a series.
It was a series.
I made a web series. Yes, I did. I tried my best.
That was so freaking funny. To this day, I'm salty that I'm the only person we know that was not on it.
No, listen, we got to figure something out, okay? You are...
A reboot.
We got to do a reboot, or we just do something brand new. I mean, the way I look at it is like, I'm trying to get to work with you in some way. We're going to make
it. I'm in. You know, I don't care what it is.
And it's gonna happen. I'm in the process of trying to get myself together, a whole rebranding. For a long time, I had this idea of show business of, okay, I'm checking off all the boxes. I'm a PA, and then I'll be a grip on a set, and then I'll be a script supervisor, and, you know, I'll apply to film school. I'll interview. I won't get in. And all the rejections and acceptances that I always read about my idols having. And then I'm like, man, I've been putting in all this work, but it's still not working out. So I finally got that idea out of my head of it being one way. And I've just accepted that. All right, this is the time to build your audience. YouTube and, you know, Instagram, all these new apps that keep coming out. TikTok, this is the time if you want to be in show business, make your put your content out there now, mm-hmm. just like y'all are doing with I Totally Paused. Nobody's saying come here, come do this. This is your own hard work, mm-hmm. your research, you're being a journalist right away and putting something out. So in that spirit, I'm like, okay, got my act together. And yes, I did make a web series. It's called The Art of Theatrical Ushery. The way I used to pitch it was, it's the office at a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's a good way to describe it.
That's a great way.
I was always heavily influenced by the mock documentary format. I think it's mm-hmm. hysterical. I love all of those Christopher Guest films, like Best in Show.
And yeah, Golden. Waiting for Guffman is like one of my favorites.
They're hysterical. And I always thought the idea of somebody taking something as mundane as ushering at a movie theater so serious, mm-hmm. that would be funny to me. So I first made it as a little short film and got into some film festivals. And, you know, it took me to Los Angeles at one point in time. Mm-hmm. I found myself in an elevator with Bob Barker.
Whoa.
Was pretty
come
cool.
on. Were you going down? Did you go down?
That was good.
We were. It was so funny. I was at an event for my film festival, and it was his last day on The Price is Right.
Oh, wow.
He had heavy security.
We had a dance professor in college named Henry Van Kuyken.
Yes.
We were all obsessed with. I thought of a really good thing to compare. I thought of someone to compare him to when I was thinking about this the other day. Now I can't think of who it was.
Love him.
For someone who like doesn't know him. It'll come back to me. But we were all obsessed with him, but he was like really intimidating. Like this is a man who like when I was a theater major, I was not a dance major. He's like a dance version of Tim Gunn. Is that the guy from Project Runway?
Yes. I love Tim Gunn though.
Yes, he
yeah, no, I love Henry Van Kuyken. He's like similar to like a Tim Gunn in his like presence.
Yes.
But he was in The Art of Theatrical Ushery, and I remember like all of us when we heard that, everyone, like, you would have thought it was Tom Hanks. Like, we were all like, how did he get him to do it? He asked him, like, he just asked him. Yeah. And he said yes. impressed that you got Henry to do it.
You know, the same thing, the same way I asked him, I approached it the same way I approached this with y'all, with professionalism. I mean, I'm not gonna come do something or want to be a part of something unless I'm going to treat it with the level of respect that I hope somebody would treat something with me if it was my thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I wrote him like a character bio, and you know, I talked to him, and we went to eat lunch together, and all that stuff. Like,
you got to have lunch with him?
Oh, several times.
I love him so much.
Yeah, I miss him. He moved. He lives out Midwest.
Yeah, he retired.
Yeah, so
good for him.
But yeah, you know, it's on there on YouTube, The Art of Theatrical.
That's what I was about to
it's
say.
It's so funny. It's a good quarantine watch. I highly recommend. It's really funny. Our friend who just went viral also stars in it.
Yeah, he's one of the main characters in it. And it was a lot.
Everyone's in it.
If people look for a search for it in YouTube, it should come up.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
You've been doing some stuff on Instagram now?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. I'm actually doing one tonight. I perform every night I do a live karaoke show.
That's awesome. We need content and people entertaining us.
I mean, listen, this is crazy right now what's going on. And
he would come see plays that I like had the lead in. And then afterwards, completely unsolicited, he would send me an email breaking down everything that was wrong with my performance.
Yeah.
I would get so upset until like the dance majors, I was explaining this to a dance major once, and they were like, if he didn't think you were good, he wouldn't take the time to do that. Yeah, like that's a compliment.
True. Yeah, that's
but
true.
He was like rough and he was intimidating and cut. Oh, you know what he reminds me of?
Just, you know, I myself haven't even been out in about 3.5 weeks. Like I'm mm-hmm. sure you all, we're trying to stay safe and people are really dying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This is not a joke. And there's some people who I see are not taking it as serious as they should, maybe. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm taking it serious. I was in the hospital not too long ago, and that wasn't fun. So I don't plan to go back.
Yeah.
You know, and I just hope everybody stays safe. And in the meantime, yeah, there's some good quarantine watches and listens. You know, obviously, I totally paused. You know, you want to get... Want to do the deep
dive? I thought it was kind of fun this weekend. I literally was just like on Instagram, like looking to see who was going live. And so like I follow like a variety of different people. So it's like, Real Housewives talking to each other, or like Drag Race people, and like a lot of Drag Race people are just putting on full on shows on their Instagram Live and just like taking requests. Like Jinx Monsoon will just do a whole show and have her partner, like, do piano, and she just sings songs, or she brings karaoke up on YouTube, and it's really cool. It's just really cool to see all these people collaborating and figuring out ways to still create and get their artistry out there while we're all stuck at home.
And Jinx was the was a Drag Race winner.
Yes, yes, she won. I think it was season 5. I was just watching her season.
Yeah, Jinx Monsoon inspired me because I remember one of the queens on there telling her that she was hot garbage, and then she went on the.
Jinx is fabulous. She is one of the best of at the Snatch Game. Jessica doesn't know Drag Race.
No, that's going to be one of my quarantine watches, though.
Yeah, but so they do a Snatch Game every year, and what it is, it's like, that's your celebrity impression. And so they do it like it's a big game show, and it's a spin on Match Game. And so Jinx Monsoon did Little Edie from Grey Gardens.
Okay.
But she does, they do it on tour now. So when they go on tour, they'll do it. So they one time were in England and she did Queen Elizabeth, like the old school Queen Elizabeth. And it was like the full garb and the collar and the hair. It was amazing. And she came out, she's like clap for your queen. Like, it was just so funny. Oh my God, she goes out there.
Siobhan, are you familiar with Willem?
Willem is one of my top faves.
My wife and I, we were face to face with Willem, photo and everything.
No way! That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Now, Willem's really cool and crafty, and I think he does a lot of like styling too. It sounds like he has this like amazing studio where he has. People almost said it's like a drag museum because he has so many pieces he's collected from other queens, and like I think he rents out a lot of stuff too.
I have some on the topic of drag queens, and the way I knew that was my dad, who has been one of my biggest cheerleaders, said, "Chris, go talk to him. Tell him about the show. Tell him about the film festival." In my dad's mind, I could just go up to Bob Barker and tell him to come see the show. So I did, but his security quickly removed me from the elevator with him. Because you don't get close to Bob like that.
I love that about you, though. I feel like you will talk to anyone. Like, I always remember you being there when Bobby McFerrin came to our school, and I sang with him in the green room, and you, like, showed up because you, like, needed to meet Bobby McFerrin.
the way I see it is, like, this could be my shot.
And, I love that.
Hey, you gotta have that gumption.
Listen, Chris, I did the same thing with Chris Rock. I gave him a card on live TV to watch. And that's when James Lipton said, "Get the mic away from him." Don't get it wrong. Let me tell you, the security, they took the mic from me and somebody put their hand on my shoulder and sat me down. And that was the end of that. And I just said, "Okay, I'm sorry, Colin."
Oops, well, you tried.
I always will try.
I always talked about when you first put out the Art of Theatrical Ushery. So
the person who shot my web series, the cinematographer, gentleman named Paul Gibson. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's a famous documentary called Paris is Burning.
I know of it. Shockingly, I've never seen it.
He shot the documentary, and I'm like,
what?
Yeah. I didn't even discover this till probably like the third day of shooting Theatrical Ushery.
That's like legendary. In that community.
And that's someone else, right? Who, like, you just asked him?
I straight up asked him.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
The level of the visual of it is very, it's my best project I've ever done. Obviously I had to pay for it, though. Like, I put money into it, you know. I had to.
That's why our listeners should go and support and listen or go on YouTube.
Where can we find you on social media?
Social media, I am Instagram, Chris Banks for Real. That's the number 4, and then Real, R-E-A-L. Facebook, same thing, and Twitter, same thing. I'm coming back. I'm coming back with my real self. Like, I'm not masking it anymore. I'm not making up things. I have my brand of comedy. It's when you add a little romance and comedy, but take away the romance. That's me. Like, my life is like that. Like, I'm just a guy looking for a break. It's a phrase that I used to use called Jaggle Fab, just a guy looking for a break. And I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a friend, I'm a nephew, and I just take little slices of my life, and this is my point of view now. And you know, I have videos that I'm going to be coming out with about what I think about my son getting older and wanting to move out, and telling him. No, he told me he's going to take the PlayStation.
He's like 8 or 9.
You know, I can't deal with this. You know, I have different theories on films, like how I think Rocky V is really a time travel movie and not a boxing film. And this is like the kind of content that I'm going to be coming out with. And
I love it.
Yeah, I've been
having fun.
I've just been using it, making it on my phone. You know, and I'm just maybe I'll consult our friend who went viral, and he can give me a few pointers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, apparently.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yes. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. This has been so great. The week before he went viral, or 2 weeks before, we randomly saw each other at a parking lot. And then we ended up having coffee together, and it was great. And then now he's viral.
I'm going to demand to get together when this quarantine is lifted.
It no matter. Okay, I'm just gonna say now that I'm gonna give my word that we're gonna make it happen. I never gave
it better happen.
I'm giving my word because I'm trying to teach this to my son. When you give your word, you have to do it.
Well, we're recording you giving your word right now.
My word.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's on the record.
Tell me where it is, and I'm coming.
I'll have you guys to my house. We'll barbecue.
Be there. You know, I have an apartment. It's not big, but it's beautiful. So. Definitely we'll come to your house because it's probably more space for the kids and everything. Cause I think,
yeah, we have like a decent sized backyard. We can like grill and play.
And I eat anything. Well, I'm trying to become a vegetarian, but
good luck.
Good luck. I was trying to lose weight and then I was quarantined in my house. So I baked peanut butter cookies at 9 p.m. last night and ate six of them. So
I was with that though. I can eat those. Those are vegan.
They were freaking delicious. And I think actually when we get off here, we might go put the kids in the car and just like drive through McDonald's for milkshakes just so they can like feel like they went somewhere. a treat.
You have to, because this, you know, something like this hasn't happened since 1918.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so this is wild.
Yeah, they just, I feel like they need to feel like they actually got to go somewhere, even though they're not going to get out of the car. They'll get a little treat and, you know.
There's two things I know about this pandemic. After it's over, is that we can go on with our lives and Jennifer Garner will still be as beautiful as she was.
Yes, she will.
Damn right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great
gem. Thank you so much. I'm so excited we got to do this.
Yeah, this was so much fun. Thanks for picking Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, we wouldn't have thought of her, but this was a good choice.
First and only pick, but don't tell my wife, okay?
Promise. All right. You can follow me at Sio Monroe on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jess Paused Pod. You can follow us on Instagram at Totally Paused Pod and on Twitter at Totally Pause Pod.
No D. Or you can just
many letters. Yeah, or you can search for us, we'll come up.
Yeah.
My word.
So, all right.
Wait, I guess that means
we are. This, Chris? Do you know what we say at the end? Have you ever made it to the end of an episode? We're outie.
That's what we say.
Outie.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna do it all together.
Okay. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
We're outie.
Outie.